Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, and wellness brought to you by Lower Extremity Review and MVP Parent Magazines, Right Fit, Fitness and Wellness, and Global Schoolwear by Tommy Hilfiger. We got a great doubleheader today. You know, Bill Hughes, who's gone a long time ago, he is now retired. An award-winning, over three-decade, certified athletic trainers, and Naperville Central High School in our neck of the woods. And he's also one of Illinois', if not the country's, most famous Santas. He is a real beard Santa. Then we got Dr. Robert Pick, an acclaimed dentist. He's a speaker author. He's the CEO of the Pick Group, Progressive Periodontists, and implants. And then the sports doctor's in. We'll catch some emails. First, let's welcome back. It's been a long time, Bill Hughes. Howdy.
Hi, Bob. How are you?
Great. It's great to have you. You know, Bill and I, again, we go back a long time, an athletic trainer around where I had practiced, and was somebody we really, really called for in so many instances. Bill, give us a background on you quickly with your history as a trainer and speaker author.
Well, I started my career when I was in high school when I sustained three concussions in 2 days, and the doctor told me in the ER, he said, kid, turn in your gear, you're not going to play the sport anymore. So they asked if I'd stay on and be a manager. That summer they sent me to a Kramer student trainer camp. And in essence, I was then became the athletic trainer for Homewood-Flossmoor High School for until I graduated in 69. Went to Illinois State, studied athletic training, graduated in 74 with a double major in PE and biology. First job was up in Flushing, Michigan as a high school biology teacher and their first athletic trainer. After 5 years at Flint, all teachers with less than 12 years were laid off because of the depression with the auto industry. So my team physicians, three of us, started the first sports medicine clinic in the state of Michigan. I did that for 2 or 3 years, and then I went to a clinic in St. Louis, and then I came back and started an outreach program at the University of Chicago. And then in 1985, the PE teaching job opened up at Naperville Central, and they wanted a ATC, and so I spent the last 27 years of my career at Naperville Central teaching phys ed and taking care of all the boo-boos in the building.
Yeah, you know, Bill, it's a topic that I've had on the Sports Doctor probably for three decades, which was the absolute importance of athletic trainers and certified athletic trainers. And the challenge of trying to get them more and more routinely included, I think it still shocks people when they hear how many high schools don't have an athletic trainer. And I know you've been one of the champions of educating that whole area. Like you said, you started one of the first sports medicine clinics in athletic. I always considered you guys the geniuses, whether it was a simple boo-boo, like you said, or whether it was a catastrophic injury, spinal cord, something, concussions. You had to handle all of it, and I think that's I still consider you guys champions.
Thank you. It is a unique profession.
You know, it's grown.
You just
like
have
we've
to,
seen.
You have to know a little bit about everything.
Yes, and you also became, over the years, Bill, and before they knew how to spell strength and conditioning coach, you guys as certified athletic trainers, you really were the guys who were very much involved not only in rehab, but, you know, in the whole idea of trying to get stronger, trying to get faster. You know, I always wondered at how you guys could handle all the treatment and all those other responsibilities, especially once you started putting the shingles sports medicine up, you know?
I agree. I wonder how I – well, the hours are unbelievable. If you're going to become an athletic trainer, better plan on putting in a lot of hours.
You know, it's interesting. Yes, and the explosion of, Bill, of concussion awareness today is such a big topic. It's a topic right now, whether with Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs. And the talk a little bit about how, you know, years ago, maybe a player was coming off the field and someone said, how many fingers? Okay, go back in. You know, and how we've come so far in the importance of paying attention to head trauma, whatever the sport.
It's unbelievable. I have quite a few friends who are older, retiring athletic trainers who are actually spotters for Big Ten schools and pro teams, because they sit up in the booth with a laptop that tells them how many G-forces the helmets are incurring, and they can call the athletic trainer on the field and say, hey, you better look at 34. He just received 10 Gs. And they can pull him out and bring him into the tent. And
nothing like some technology. You know, I've had these people on the show, Bill. I've had various companies with exactly what you're talking about and different kinds of other criteria, you know, the ability to make pay so much attention to that. Yet it seems to be as big a challenge now as it ever was at younger and younger ages because of the aggressiveness. You know, we talk all the time about youth sports on the Sports Doctor, Bill, and the tremendous overkill. You know, it's just so aggressive. And again, even in high school, in junior high school, you're talking, I remember I was on the sidelines of the Naperville North, Naperville Central game with you. I couldn't believe the size of these kids. These high school, you know, really. And then, you know, hey, the guy's 6'5", and he runs a 5 flat, you know. And he got, so the athleticism has grown dramatically, you know, in a great way. But the overuse injuries, Bill, one of the reasons I co-authored the book, Hashtag Sports Parents, was the epidemic, in capital letters, of youth sports overuse injuries because of overscheduling. And I know you used to always be so concerned about that. And you used to say that, you know, for the most, you know, it was tough getting past some of the deaf ears because everybody thought more was better, right?
Absolutely. I felt very blessed at Central because, one, they listened to me and would follow my instructions. But secondly, the coaches were so dedicated. For instance, Phil Lawler was very good friends with Tom House, the pitching coach for the Texans, and Nolan Ryan. And I rarely had an overused shoulder injury in baseball because the moment they walked into the school, they were under Phil's tutelage, and their mechanics were perfect by the time they took the field in the spring. It was
yeah, he was on the show a couple of times, Lawler.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, a big shoulder guy, you know, and you know, with, again, with so much attention. Again, you could say that, yeah, you were very, very lucky. And you were also part of the growth, Bill, of the relationship between medicine and coaches and parents. Remember, I used to always say, I asked you, hey, Bill, how's your sports psychology skills with the families? Right? How's that going?
Absolutely. Yeah, we had to be the intermediator communicator. We had to be able to interpret what the physician's language was down to the parents and the kids so that they could understand exactly how we were going to treat the malady.
You know, it's still a big concern, Bill, with the one of the chapters in my book is called Youth Sports and Drugs. And I mean over-the-counter anti-inflammatory and pain pills, where we see so many of these kids on serious high school teams need pain medicine in order to continue to participate. We would say, you know, there's got to be something wrong here with the overuse. Everybody listening to the Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, live from Chicago. You can go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go to radio shows, you can go back years. you could find Phil Lawler, probably as Bill Hughes, and you could see so many different topics, so many international, national, and local guests. And if you open newspaper articles and magazines, you can read a lot of great stuff. Lower Extremity Review, this is one of our sponsors, a fantastic magazine, all sorts of sports medicine paid attention to, as well as the new exciting MVP Parent Sport magazine. And again, follow us on Twitter. I can't tell you how many guests I get from Twitter. We have good, informative information in sports medicine and fitness on our Twitter. We have over 30,000 followers at SportsDoc, D-O-C Radio. We're talking with Bill Hughes. He's an award-winning, longtime certified athletic trainer. And Bill, I wanted to ask you, how did you get interested in and make such a career out of Santa Claus?
Well, my younger brother started doing it 10 years before I did and told me how much fun it was. And 10 years after he started, my beard turned white, seemed like overnight. So I asked my wife, Merg, if she would consider making me a Santa costume, and we'd see what's happened. My first gig was in 1992, which was the same year I joined the, at that time, Amalgamated Order of Real Bearded Santas.
When I read that, I thought that was fantastic that there's an organization.
Oh, yeah.
And five of my friends asked me, at least when they saw the post of the show, they said, is that a, holy cow, it's a real beard. He said, forget about it. He's an athletic trainer. Let's talk about Santa. Tell me what kind of shape Santa's got to be in physically, Bill, be able to handle everything he does. Do you have a website or where people could find out information of your
Santa? I've been meaning to do that for a long time. They can just search me, Bill Hughes, on Facebook.
Wow, you're doing that almost 20 years.
Just finished my 28th season. And last year, before the pandemic, I did over 50 gigs and had over 4,000 kids on my lap. I've been Cantini's Santa for 20 years now.
Ha! What's your opinion of the, again, of the certified athletic training world as you see now? Seems there's been, again, a lot of great new things. What's your opinion on what they're doing right and what you feel that the field itself could incorporate better?
Right now, athletic training is a master's entry position. And so you can't become certified unless you have your master's degree. And I fought the national office over that because secondary schools will often not pay a starting teacher with a master's degree. They want to start you with the bachelor's and get the most out of you for as little money as they can. And I told them that that would preclude a lot of people from going into the secondary school educational route, because I think the best way to do it is the way I did it and become a teacher and an athletic trainer while you were in college and get dual certification. Well, it now takes so long to get both certifications. You're in school for a very long time. And so there are very few teacher athletic trainers. Everybody
I remember that was something we
farmed
would see.
Out of the, yeah. Yeah, they're all being
I would see,
out of the
you
clinic.
Know, friends of ours like at Athletico and whatever, and our ATI, was one of their big parts of their physical therapy clinics is they had trainers that they were lending out all over the place. The amount of trainers that are available, we hear those stories all the time, Bill, in high school, you know, even with that have sports programs and they would be, you know, floundering around. How many high schools now, roughly, would you say you're happy that they have proper athletic training?
Well, in the suburbs of Chicago, we have one of the highest concentrations in the country. If you go south in the state, there's one traveling athletic trainer working out of a clinic covering 8 or 10 schools. I worked in St. Louis for 1 year, and yeah. I had 9 high schools that I visited every week. It's just, I think nationally, the statistic is something like there's still like 40% of the high schools do not have a full-time athletic trainer.
I would have flunked that test because it's even more disappointing than I remember if you would have asked me. In this day and age, with the explosion of youth sports and the seriousness, both mentally and physically, big time. High school is big time sports, and it's just unacceptable to have an athletic program without having a certified athletic trainer. Is that changing, Bill?
We've been trying to get it to change for my entire career. It's certainly a lot better. And with the clinics farming out the athletic trainers to the schools, there's certainly more access for the student athletes. So it is improving. But we still are producing more athletic trainers than the school districts are willing to hire. It's a dilemma. It really is.
It's an ongoing challenge. Again, you'd say, like, we just mentioned something. You said, you have a traveling athletic trainer for 11 schools. And I'm saying, this is nuts. Especially when you think about it, I don't care whether the sport is volleyball or they're out on the field playing soccer or it's cross-country running, et cetera, et cetera. For the most part, tell me if I'm wrong, the football games had pretty much much more percentage of coverage, true?
True, yeah. We would not have a football game without athletic trainers and a team physician on the field. Then in the
spring...
Am I happy, Bill?
Are you happy with the inclusion big time of strength and conditioning coaches at all levels?
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. I work with them. We had a coach who went through the certification, and I worked with him on a regular basis because the two of us would design the programs, the weight programs for all of the teams. And they're a wonderful asset because I could then stay in the training room and rehab the ones that are injured and get them out on the field while our strength conditioning coach was in the weight room getting them bigger, faster, and stronger.
Yeah, definitely a big part of the overall team, when it comes like you always had a network of professionals. I was proud to be one of them. Where if there were problems involving whatever it was, you'd have a team of experts to call on, to consult with, whether it was physical problems or even the mental problems, the mental health in the minute or so we have left with the pandemic and everything, Bill, mental health is such a nightmare. Anyway, Bill Hughes, I'm so glad to have you back. He was a long-time certified athletic trainer, and he's Santas. You go with Bill Hughes. How do they find out about Santa, Bill?
Go to Facebook and search Bill Hughes in Warrenville.
Can't miss him. Bill, hold on. Everybody, we're going to be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Thanks, Bill.
Okay.
Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, the Sports Doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctor's In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, Experts Speak Out. We bring together 8 different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about 6 parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Live from Chicago, it's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. I want to welcome back. It's been about 4 years, Dr. Bob Hicks, another Dr. Bob. He's an acclaimed dentist. He's a speaker, author. He's the CEO of the PIC Group, Progressive Periodontics and Implants. Hey, Dr. Bob, welcome back.
Thank you very much for having me back. I'm very honored.
Well, that's nice to hear. Bob, give us a background on you and your practice and your specialties in the world of oral health.
Boy, 40,000 things just went through my mind. And
welcome to the sports, you know, doctor, man.
My specialty is periodontics and implants, and it is something that has become huge and got my background. I'm not sure how far you want me to go back without going round, no pun intended.
Well, I don't know if I want to go back to when you started playing the guitar, but, you know, in the world of health and wellness,
yeah,
in the world of sports medicine, yeah, you know, the protection, oral health is such a big deal. So I want you to talk about, again, with more of your background regarding some of that relationship. I know that you're a teacher.
Sure.
In so many ways. You're not kidding that implants are gigantic, aren't they?
Yes. And, you know, my background to, and you are correct, I started playing guitar when I was 7.
I thought so.
That's a whole funny story because I used to steal my parents' little transistor radio out of their bedroom to listen to it, discovered the blues as a 7-year-old. But my basic training is from college, I went to dental school, I realized I loved surgery right away, went into the specialty of periodontics and implants because I felt it was one of the 2 surgical specialties, but gave me a better ability to have a relationship with my general dentist. But as time goes on, you know, we discover new things. My specialty in dentistry in itself is so important as it relates to sports medicine because that relates to health. And if you're not healthy, you're not going to be a good athlete. And we know that a healthy mouth, if you will, leads to a healthy heart. And, you know, to tell a funny story, you know, Bob, I think, Dr. Weil, I think you're my age. And, you know, when we were kids, it was a pump-up chair, pulleys. It was almost like the dentist was a technician. And, you know, I did all my surgical training. I'm like, you know, the blood vessels in the mouth are the same blood vessels that go through the body. And we know today from study after study after study, and as an American Dental Association spokesperson, I can't talk about this enough. When somebody has periodontal disease, our parents called it pyorrhea, that bacteria in the mouth leads to cardiac issues, atherosclerotic plaque in the heart, which can lead to heart attack. That gum disease, pyorrhea, leads to a greater chance of having type 2 diabetes, and if you have it, type 1 or 2, it can worsen it if your mouth is not healthy. that.
Yeah, ironically, we would sometimes see Dr. Bob that, again, the world of diabetes, where podiatry, foot specialty, might be the first professional to see diabetes because of the feet are numb or they got burning or other kinds of symptoms, again, because of some of those smaller capillaries. And then I would hear many dentists talk about the fact that the same scenario where they might see early diabetes and other situations, you know, but that connection we've talked about when I've had dentistry on the show has been that connection, again, between all sorts of health and wellness in general. It's so important today, our autoimmune systems, et cetera. And then including, again, where we would have a couple of team physicians from hockey, team dentists from the hockey world, who would talk about some of the different situations that they dealt with. I mean, there's not a professional team around that doesn't have team dentists. True?
Yeah, absolutely true. And, you know, a couple things went through my mind as you were talking. In your profession, which is podiatry, somebody that's diabetic is going to have greater problems with their feet, their toes, infection, fungus, and all professional hockey teams have dentists that are not only there during the game along with the physician due to the chance of teeth getting knocked out at the time of a hockey game.
You know, it's interesting. I've had a couple of inventors of the mouth guard world on the show. And again, I used to compare, Bob, what they used to call mandibular devices, which were mouth guards that are precisely oriented towards aligning the jaw, with orthotics and shoes, which are designed to align the foot and ankle. And, you know, we still see today, you know, the idea of mouth guards and whatever, and how important that is for sports of all ages, isn't it?
Boy, I wish you should say that again with an explanation mark, because if the mouth isn't aligned right, you're going to have issues. And you also mentioned something that a lot of dentists aren't aware of, and I happen to have great mentors. Somebody that has that doesn't walk right, somebody that has bad orthotic, they're going to have issues with their jaw by not being aligned right
when
they're standing up. And it interplays with itself.
Yes, I've had a few colleagues, and we paid attention. You know, when I sing the song, Bob, that the foot bones connected to the ankle bones, connected to the knee bone, colleagues of mine have talked about jaw temporomandibular joint malfunction due to gait, due to abnormal feet, one leg longer than another, pronated feet. And this is many times one of the reasons why will include, you know, there were many dentists, we had them on for years, that talked about they felt strength was increased overall in the body when someone was wearing the right, properly fit mouth guard. I remember there was all sorts of hoopla about that. When it came again to aligning the whole system.
No question. And people don't realize the word I want to use, a combination of everything that goes together to make a healthy body. And, you know, it's times that my specialty, your specialty, sometimes people just don't correlate it. But, you know, last time I looked, no different than the vessels that go through the mouth, the jaws go through the rest of the body, are the same vessels that go through the feet, the ankles, the toes. It's all part of the human connection. And when it's healthy, everything else is healthy. I can't talk about it enough.
You know, we want to prevent problems on the left, and we want to enhance performance when indicated on the right. Everybody listening to The Sports Doctor, I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. If you go over to radio shows, you can go back years and see what topics you'd like to listen to, see the guests, so many different people all over the world, so many different areas. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, you can read an array of articles that we've done with Lower Extremity Review, with MVP Parent Magazine. One of my hottest articles for years is Women in High Heels Accepting the Challenge. I can't tell you how many guests we get from LinkedIn and Twitter, over 30,000 followers on Twitter. We publish a lot of great information besides who's on the show and whatever at Sports Doc, D-O-C Radio. We're talking with a dentist, Dr. Robert Pick. He's the CEO of the Pick Group and a real teacher and educator in that world, where we were talking about some of these particular connections regarding overall health, you know, oral health, and the world of oral protection. You know, we've had people on all the time. They would talk about, you know, we see all these kids playing all these different sports. They don't have mouth guards. That must drive you nuts.
That's an understatement, and I am always blown away at football players, hockey players, baseball players that don't wear a correct mouth guard. And one of my biggest other pet peeves is that when people go to, I don't want to use names, when people go to a pharmacy and buy an over-the-counter, you know, night guard for $9.95 and put it in and it fits, it's got to be done right by a qualified dentist with a proper impression, analyzing your bite. You want a mouth guard to fit correctly. And,
see, you made another analogy. You made another analogy between someone getting an over-the-counter arch support or having a prescription orthotic or having an over-the-counter mouth guard or having something done right by prescription. What's the website with your group, Bob, people could find out about you and your practice?
Absolutely. And, you know, you pay for what you get. And
what's your website, Bob?
My website is two websites. My office is www.progressiveperio.com. So www.progressiveperio.com. My consulting group is www.thepickgroup.com. We're designed to help clinicians, physicians, dentists, anybody, podiatrists, to do better with things we're just not taught in professional school.
Yeah, I think that's a great topic. I've seen you've been doing more and more of that. Tell us a little bit about the Pick Group.
The Pick Group is something that came out of, just, you never know where time takes you, maybe the better answer. And without boring everybody, a long, long time ago in 1984, I've always taught a day a week. Academics very important to me. I literally pioneered lasers in dentistry and dental surgery.
Dr. Bob, hold that thought. Hold that thought, Professor, because we are going to come right back for our next segment, and we're going to pick back up on that with exactly what we were talking about regarding that whole teaching world. You're listening to The Sports Doctor, everybody. Dentist Dr. Bob Pick. We'll be right back. Hey, it's Dr. Bob. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger is setting a new standard within the school uniform market. More schools are understanding the value that uniforms provide, school pride and identification being one of them. Another is the well-recognized reduction of student pressure to keep up with classmates in the real world of what to wear each day to school. School Uniforms by Tommy Hilfiger provides amazing quality and value to its partner schools and families. It is truly the first brand in this market that students are excited about wearing. Go to the website, globalschoolwear.com. Globalschoolwear.com. Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. All things sports medicine, fitness, wellness. We're talking oral health. We're talking about the incredible importance of dentistry and from A to Z. But we're talking with Dr. Bob Pick, periodontal specialist, a teaching specialist. He was talking about his group, the PIC group, which is involved in all of the professions, paying big attention to various principles that I'm going to ask you about that might not be taught, let's say, in professional school. Tell us about that, Bob.
Yeah, you know, you never know where time takes you. And over time, I noticed that when I was lecturing, I would sidetrack on management things. And people would ask me questions, and I would sidetrack further. Long story short, without destroying everybody, I ended up as being known as the Purple Cow Wow guy. Purple cow being, if you're up in Wisconsin, every cow is black and white, looks alike. If you saw a purple cow, you'd take pictures, take video. So with ethics always first, you have to stand out in a remarkable way to separate yourself from the competition. But it's based on amazing things, such as most practices. I don't care if it's plastic surgery or orthopedics, what I do. They don't have a mission, vision, culture statement. They don't hire the right team members, which is so important, having right personality profiles, right place. Twice a year, whether it's myself or teams we coach, we go away from the office, if you will, and do something called a PBR, Big Business Team Building Retreat, which turned out to be a chapter in Jack Canfield's latest book, From Chicken Soup for the Souls. And we do something that all Fortune 500 companies do, something called a SWOT, Strength, Weaknesses, Opportunities, Threats. We go around robin with the team. What are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What are opportunities? What are our threats? How do we make our strengths stronger?
Great idea, Bob. You know, it's interesting on the Sports Doctor, all aspects of these things I call the mental game many times, whether you're the best athlete in the world, whether you're their parents, whether you're an injured athlete, whether you're dealing with all of these things we've been dealing with, the ability to be focused, the ability to pay attention to what counts.
Yes.
And I think, you know, again, when you're talking about, who is it, the purple cow? Purple cow wow?
Yes.
Yes. That definitely does stand out. But team building, I had international guests in all areas, coaches, parenting, training, physicians, stressing that very point that you guys are doing. I think that that's makes so much sense. And it's interesting how it's so easy to neglect it. I'm guilty of half of it. So I'm writing down what you're saying. So the idea, and plus the employees, everybody gets involved in so many of the exciting parts of that particular network. I mean, you have a big network. You have a lot of referring dentists who refer to you, don't you?
Yes. And it comes from doing those things. And we're not taught it in professional school. It's working social media properly. And most offices have never figured out their brand. What do they do better than anybody else? It's called unique selling proposition in business.
I hear you. Yes.
Team
hey,
building
buddy.
Exercise.
Yeah. Hey, buddy. Welcome to the Sports Doctor. Right. You know, I hear you. And I you can't stress this enough. And, you know, you made a big point regarding whatever somebody's endeavor happens to be. Your concentration, I guess, with the PIC group is professional offices. Whether it's medicine, is it medicine and business, or all medicine oriented?
It's oriented for technically, it works for anybody in any business. And it's probably most effective for physicians, dentists, podiatrists, but it works in any profession. And it's so important. And, you know, for those that happen to follow me on social media, you know, look me up, Robert Pipp. Every Monday morning at 7:10 a.m., I go live.
There he is.
For what's called Bob Picks Monday Morning, Kick Some Butt. And it's
yes.
To energize everybody and to help them get through the week.
You know, positive energy, in this day and age especially, you know, just a welcome addition, good sense of humor, along with great advice, makes so much sense. I want, before we run out of time, I want to talk about the world of implants, which has exploded. You can't watch TV 5 minutes without seeing everything on implants. The only thing more than that that I complain about on the Sports Doctor is drug commercials. And if it's not drug commercials, it's diet commercials. But in general, the safety of implants, and, you know, with I know with some athletes have talked about, you know, how can I count on this, et cetera. Talk a little bit about the evolution of implants.
Sure. Implants have come such a long way. Just as a 5-second history, when I did my surgical residency, implants were only for somebody with no lower teeth. It was an operating room case where we sort of put in these two pegs that locked on a denture. Today, you can put a series of implants in. It's called an all-on-4 in either jaw to lock a denture in place. A single tooth, their success rate is 98% in the lower jaw, 97% in the lower jaw in 20-year studies. And there's nothing better than your own tooth. I talk about that all the time as a spokesperson. But if you lose a tooth, the implant is the best thing we have. It's done minimally invasive today. And if you're replacing one tooth, you don't have to cut the teeth down.
What about all of these places, Bob? I wanted to ask you, what about all these places you see advertised? You know, we can do everything in 24 hours. I can't imagine having all this work done in the same day. You do everything in 24 hours, you know, like there's no discomfort. Is that even close to reality? I got to ask you.
You can hear me laughing already. And, you know, we're one of the few countries where you can advertise medicine. And I'm going to say this. With one of those commercials, there's this guy that's a fireman, and he sits down and, oh, my goodness, I had all my teeth taken out yesterday and implants put in, and life is just honky-dory.
I remember it, yes.
Well, if you read the disclaimer, which comes on the commercial, which lasts 1.2 seconds, it tells you that what you saw is a very rare scenario, and most people that lose all their teeth and have implants at the same time have a temporary denture for 3 to 4 months before the final one is put on. So be careful what you see, and also be careful who you see. You should be seeing a specialist, someone that gets it. Good Google reviews is so important.
You know, because again, the explosion of the implants, you know, change your life and all of these things. And I know that professionally, some of my hockey teams in the past, some of these incredible problems, and that was one of the weapons that they had. So I guess it's still an educational challenge for people. What are the two things you said? Be careful in what you do and who you do it with.
Yes, and it's important. Like, I always tease, I've been blessed since 1984 to be on hospital staff at Northwestern Memorial and on the medical faculty. And it's simply been a blessing because, God forbid, when I've gotten sick, I know who to go see. And I always want to see the best that knows what they're doing. And as a consumer, you've got to do your homework and you've got to do your research on who you're seeing. It's important.
Great information, Dr. Robert Pick, CEO of the Pick Group. Quickly, Bob, give me the website again.
The website is two of them. My practice is www.progressiveperio.com. That's P-E-R-I-O. So www.progressiveperio.com. My consulting and coaching group is the pickgroup.com.
Great. Hold on, Bob. We'll be right back with the Sports Doctors in, everybody. Oh.
Hey, it's Dr. Bob. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness is a unique physical fitness experience whose breakthrough formula is built for all ages and abilities. Young or old, high-level athletes have special needs or seeking post-rehab and recovery therapy, Right Fit has a 15-year track record of measurable results. Right Fit has two Illinois locations, LaGrange and Willowbrook. No membership fees. Pay as you go. Go to right-fit.com. Right Fit Sports Fitness Wellness. Right-fit.com.
If you live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody. We are back live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You go over to radio shows. You can go back years. You could see what the topics were, who the guests are. You could listen to whatever you would like. If you go over to newspaper articles and magazines, there's so much new stuff, so much old stuff on an array of topics, from barefoot running to what's the best shoe for your son or daughter, to all sorts of articles on concussions and other kinds of information. Looking forward to include there when the new MVP Parent Magazine is out, which should be any time. Great stuff. Again, you can follow me on Twitter at SportsDoc, D-O-C, Radio. We have over 30,000 followers. We publish a lot of great information. I get a lot of guests from Twitter. Same shout out to LinkedIn. It's a Sports Doctors In column. We answer some emails. We have some information. Next week will be a repeat show. We're going to have back from November, Ian Goldberg is the CEO of iSport 360, a fantastic organization and app for the communication of parents and coaches. The interaction of all aspects, his newsletters, over 100,000 followers. So he'll be on. Mary Leonard, the Athletic Sports Academy in New York, will be joining us. She's a former dancer, and she's a former personal trainer. The following week, we've got a real duo, Dr. Holly Benjamin-Rakos. She is a pediatric sports medicine and sports medicine specialist, and Gina Pongetti, acclaimed physical therapist, specifically in the gymnastics world. She's the owner of some local Achieve Physical Therapy, and those two have collaborated for decades. And Gina contributed to the book Anatomy of a Figure Skating Injury with me, authored by John Hermata. So some great shows coming up. Tom asks, you talk a lot about concussions. You've had a few different guests on. What is the National Football League's concussion protocol? You know, Tom, it's about a 4 or 5 step process. The first step is what they call symptom-limited activity. So after a diagnosed or a suspicious concussion, this is relatable now with the great Patrick Mahomes, hopefully be able to play this week in the championship game. And the idea initially after suspected, past the fact of symptom-limited activity, doing your life, not having problems, and then moving on to maybe being able to do some aerobic exercise, a little bit of running, maybe some quick movements. Phase three might be football-specific exercise, running and catching, kicking the ball, et cetera. Again, these things might happen in a matter of 5, 10 days, 15 days. The next phase, four, is non-contact training. So we might see in football that they're running drills, doing all running and catching footballs, but they're not having any contact. Once the team physician clears that athlete for full clearance, that athlete has to pass with an independent neurologist physician from the league. So it is a long way, baby, from what used to be a decade or two ago. We talked a little bit about this with our first guest, the longtime acclaimed athletic trainer, Bill Hughes. Angie says, I've always had weak ankles, and I've had my share of sprains. Sometimes it seems easier. Would orthotics be helpful? Almost always, Angie, yes. Usually we see there's a biomechanical component of the structural joint alignment, high arches, flat feet, for example, that can contribute to the instability of ankle problems. Also, many times, simple ankle problems or sprains are not ignored, but they're not treated aggressively. And the tendons and ligaments around the ankle are more like taffy than rubber. And if they're constantly stretched or aggravated, they become or can become looser, more susceptible, for instance, to, gee, you know, I step off a curb and I turn my ankle. So the addition of orthotics to a smart strengthening program, I'm a big rubber band fan. I'm a big balance board and BOSU fan and sand dune stepper fan to strengthen the foot ankle and the whole lower leg complex. And that usually is very, very successful. Also, Angie, if you're doing sports and doing some sort of ankle bracing is smart for protection. And that's usually not all the time, but let's say we're playing soccer or you're running and jogging, you might want to wear some loose lace-up or elastic ankle support. But orthotics might be a big weapon for you. See podiatry. Jennifer says, I'm 25 years old. I've been dealing with what they call this persistent calcaneal bursitis. You know, the calcaneus is the heel bone. And a bursitis is an inflammation of a bursa, which is a fluid sac-like structure that helps the connection between a tendon as it attaches to the bone. And the bursa might be right by that attachment, almost like a fluid type area to reduce stress to the area. If it's constantly abused because of injuries to that area, we can get that bursitis. If it's persistent, like you said, pay attention to podiatric podiatry evaluation, because if it's excessive motion, biomechanics, orthotics could save you, as well as some recommendations of shoes. Thanks, everybody. Everybody, please stay safe. Stay informed. We'll see you next week. It's the Sports Doctor.